Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros, ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros. Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
Better late than never, I say, when it comes to getting Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm sorry, guys. I talk to the girls all the time about let's not make unforced errors, right? Hey, there's going to be situations that come up that you have to deal with. Some of them are going to be difficult, but don't make any self-inflicted mistakes. So Packers playing Sunday Night Football. I stay up late writing, obviously. Don't get to bed till after 2.
Did you stay up for the World Series game?
Yes, what am I doing, man? What do I care who wins game 3? What am I doing?
It was a hell of
a
game,
though. Then I oversleep and I forgot to set my alarm. And no, I'm sure it was a hell of a game. I would have liked to have seen how it ended, but I still fell asleep before it ended.
You stayed up and then didn't even get to see the ending?
Yeah, what inning did it end up ending in?
18.
I think I made it through like, I think at 16th inning. I think
you made it to 16. Oh no!
Yes,
this is like, what's the double whammy thing that Chewy talks about when you have to pay and you trade? What is he call that?
The double whammy.
This is the double whammy. This is the Jason Wilde double whammy. You missed the end of the game that you stayed up for, and then you slept in and missed your hit here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah. I'm the worst. I'm the worst, Jerry. Yeah, very fair.
I saw this and I found it interesting, and there's no other place to put it. But apparently, so there have been 2 18-inning games in World Series history. Brad Paisley
both
sung
the Chavez Ravine.
Brad Paisley sung the national anthem before both games.
Whoa, what a coincidence.
Wow.
Parallel universe type stuff.
So if Brad Paisley's singing the national anthem at a game you're at,
Buckle up. Jinx. Jason, I want to talk about Jordan Love. We started the show this morning referencing some of the articles that are out there saying that Jordan Love should be firmly in the MVP conversation after his performance on Sunday. I think it was the best. Obviously, I know it was the best regular season performance that he has had. I think the only passer rating that was better was that game against Dallas in the postseason. But you had the maturity that he showed, the composure, the resolve, to say nothing of how that translated to the performance on the field. Do you think that Jordan Love deserves to be in the MVP conversation right now?
I don't think there's any question he deserves to be in the conversation. They're 5-1-1. They've got the best winning percentage in the NFC. He's played really well. And this is the thing that I keep going back to. And Gabe, I know we talked about it before. Like, you know, I have people getting mad at me for pointing out the interception in Cleveland and the way he handled the final 30 seconds of overtime in Dallas, where he throws that check down when he knows he can't throw the ball, you know, in the field of play without any timeouts and all that other stuff. But the reason I bring those up is because look what he's done the last 3 games since, right? He makes the huge throw to Golden in the Cincinnati game, where he's running to his left and throws back kind of across his body as Golden is dragging toward the left sideline. He makes the throw to Tucker Kraft on 4th down in Arizona to set up the go-ahead touchdown. And then obviously the way he played with 20 consecutive completions and the throws he made against Pittsburgh, like what he has done is he's taken 2 late game mistakes and he's turned around and come through in late game situations since. Like, that to me is the mark of an MVP and a guy who's evolving into being one of those top-tier type players. Now, do I think he's there yet? No. But do I think there's reason to be really encouraged? Because I'll tell you this, when he was making those mistakes late in games, and Tausch has some shekels on him winning the MVP, him and Jesse put down a wager on that. Like, those are the things that people who don't win MVPs do, are those types of mistakes when the game is on the line. So the evolution that he is going through toward being that kind of player, absolutely he deserves to be in the conversation. I don't know if he's going to win it or not, but he certainly deserves to be in the conversation.
Jason, are they just getting the ball more to Tucker Kraft because he's getting open, or are they actually calling plays where he is the number one option? Because 19 targets in the last 2 weeks combined, I feel, isn't a coincidence.
It's not. And LaFleur was asked that exact question, and he said it's both. It's both, right? I always love it when they finish the sentence with right. We've got a couple of assistants on the staff.
Chewy does it all the time.
You know, from a quoting standpoint, I'm never sure. Do I have to leave that in to accurately quote them? Because the word right is going to appear about six times in this paragraph. But it is both, right? he's getting open, and they're designing plays where he is the first option to get the ball. Now, I would also add that, and I asked LaFleur about this, and I wrote about it this morning. I do think that if you are spread it around, keep everybody involved guy, and you're also on the record saying we'd be crazy not to build our passing game around him, there's going to be some guys that are going to be frustrated. Now, again, I don't know enough about the kids these days to understand what everything means. But if you deactivate your Instagram account, if you scrub your social media, which is what Matthew Golden did, if you scrub your social media of Packers references, which is what Romeo Doubs did last year, I don't know if he ever restored those or not. Like, are those signals that you're unhappy? Are those, you know, I don't know, maybe Golden just didn't want to deal with people, you know, complaining about three catches for 4 yards and I lost my fantasy football matchup because of you. But I do wonder, and that's why I asked LaFleur about it, how do you manage that? Like, you want to be able to say, oh yeah, we're, you know, that this team, it's all for one and one for all, and we don't worry about that as long as we're winning. Well, that's not how it works. I've been in the locker room for too long. Guys that aren't getting their ops get frustrated and get irritated, even if you are winning. So I'll be curious to see how he navigates that, because both things are good things, right? Getting the ball to Tucker Kraft is a good thing. Keeping everyone involved to a varying degree is also a good thing. So how do you figure out how to do both those things without making it so it's a bad thing, where you're not getting Kraft the ball enough, or you're trying too hard to get guys involved, you're not succeeding, and now you've got some disgruntled would-be pass catchers. I'm eager to see how they handle that.
Jason, we're paying attention to the cornerback situation. I know that you are as well. We talked about some things that have happened in the league at that position. And Chewy said yesterday he believes that Brian Gutekunst will make a move and address cornerback. Do you think he will?
I don't know, man. If it's going to cost him a draft pick, he's already down two first-round picks. The one bad thing is that the Titans traded away one of the guys that was on the ESPN trade list of possibilities that Matt Bowen and somebody else put together. And then the Titans went and plucked Micah Robinson, the Packers' seventh-round pick, off their practice squad. So now one of their own in-house candidates is no longer on the roster either, or no longer with the team. And so I don't know who's out there. I'm reluctant to say that they're going to make a move that requires them to give up a pick. I suppose if it's – I love these new trades, by the way. And the Rasul Douglas trade a couple of years ago was one of the first ones like this, where you give up the player and you get a draft pick back, but you also give up a worse draft pick as part of the deal. Like, everyone – how many people have you heard say – well, at least they got a third-round pick for Rasul Douglas.
Everyone.
Right? They didn't get a third-round pick for Rasul Douglas. They got a third-round pick for Rasul Douglas and a fifth-round pick. So they moved up 60 spots from wherever they were in the fifth round to where they ended up in the third round. But all they didn't get an extra pick. They did not pick an extra time in that draft when they gave up Rasul Douglas. And to me, that's great. If you're able to move up, great. But let's not paint it as something that it's not. And so if you're able to, you know, do a little 6-7 trade where you give up a seventh and a player and get a sixth back, if you're, you know, whoever's trading the corner to the Packers, that's a pretty good deal for them. Like, if it's a guy that they wanted to move on from anyway. But to me, if you're going to make a trade, if you're giving up a player who is a valuable asset to you, you better get more than just a move up or down the draft board.
Our conversations with Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Jason, last year the Packers, after the Jordan Love injury, they pivoted their identity and who they were offensively. They became a run-first team, ended up running the ball 52% of the time last year. And Josh Jacobs ended up having a top-five season in the history of the Green Bay Packers in terms of running backs go. This year, the run game not going well. And the way that Jordan Love played in that second half, do they have to change their identity once again and go back to a pass-first team, run things through Jordan and Tucker in hopes of opening up the running game?
Yeah, I think that if you believe that he is truly an MVP candidate, you're comfortable doing that. But that is not what Matt LaFleur wants. Matt, unlike Mike McCarthy before him, when Matt LaFleur talks about committing to the run game, he actually means it. He actually does believe in the value of it, as opposed to Mike, who just, God bless him, he just loved to throw it around the yard. And he had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks while he was doing it, so who could blame him, right? I'm curious, have you looked at what their split is this season?
They have thrown it
for run to pass.
They have thrown it 10 more times than they ran it. And so I believe they threw it 11 more times in this past game. So going into the game against Pittsburgh, they were pretty much 50-50. And basically 50-50 now, because they're barely over in terms of
right,
pass
to run. And I mean, there's been times, I think the last time they were as heavy run as they were last year was in 03 when Amon Green, I think they were 53-47 that year. You know, look, I think Matt LaFleur wants to be around 50-50 with a little smidge over running. I think, you know, that game specifically against the Steelers, I mean, they read the stat sheet, right? They know that's the 31st ranked pass defense. They feel like they can do some damage there. But I still think he wants to have Josh Jacobs be the bell cow. And they also, you know, you and I have talked about this before. Like, I feel like Emmanuel Wilson is one of the more underrated players that they've had on their roster in a long time. Like, people just don't appreciate. Every time they put him in there, he's productive. I mean, he just is. So I think he would still rather be, you know, 51-49 or 50.5, 49.5. So I'm not surprised that they're still hovering around 50-50, even with the struggles they've had getting the run game going, even with, you know, some bumps and bruises for Josh Jacobs. So I would expect, and especially when the weather turns, I know they all love the idea of teams trying to tackle Josh Jacobs when it's cold outside and the footing is questionable. So I don't think they're going to pivot with their approach. I think they'll probably still lean into the run. They just got to run the ball better, and that's a big priority.
But if they get off to a faster start, Jason, with their offense and throw the ball a little bit, to me that also opens up the defense and protects your defensive backs a little bit, because if you start building those leads, teams are going to want to throw it more and hold on to the ball and try to push the ball down the field, and that unleashes Micah Parsons.
Yeah, and look, they did that in the first two games, right? I mean, they got out the leads there. I love it when Homer changes the score of games because he eliminates the garbage touchdowns. He did it again with the Steelers game on Sunday night. So, yeah, look, I don't mean this in a condescending, douchey way, but great point, Gabe. Yeah, it's better when you get a lead. It allows you to do a lot of things. But again, I really do believe that Matt LaFleur believes in the run game. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about play action, and I'm not sure that that's appreciably better, appreciably different. I haven't looked at the numbers on that. But their run game has not been good enough. We can all agree on that. It certainly has not been up to the standard of last year. You know, I think they're finding some continuity on their offensive line now. But, you know, again, Josh Jacobs' numbers on Sunday, it was another bad yards per carry average. But they're getting, it's not like they're not getting anything out of it. They're still getting something out of it, but they're not getting nearly as much out of it as they did last year.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, I'm going to try not to oversleep for the start of our show in 22 minutes.
Don't go back to sleep.
Sorry for keeping you guys waiting.
No problem at all. Take care.
Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after our show here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Okay, listen, October 10th was World Mental Health Day, but it doesn't mean that we should only talk about mental health on October 10th. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp, and BetterHelp is an opportunity for you or anyone else that you know out there who is struggling with life's challenges, navigating the difficult stuff, to get help. Our listeners get 10% off their first month. Just dial #250, say the keyword timeout. And here's the thing, guys. BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally, and on the App Store, they have a 4.9 out of 5 rating based on 1.7 million client reviews. 1.7 million people can't be wrong. If you find yourself needing help, BetterHelp is the answer. Go to your phone, put #250 in, and say the keyword timeout for 10% off your first month. That's keyword timeout after calling #250, because we are all better with help.